serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in authority that he gave me. I'm a reflection of God, so watch me be the light. It's time that we show the world that Jesus is alive.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Teaching Thursdays. I'm your teacher for the evening, Pastor BJ Piggy. Thank y'all so much for joining us. And I am super excited about everything that we are getting ready to get into tonight and in this series. And I hope you are too. Listen, I hope you guys have been having an excellent, excellent week. And if you haven't, I just want to encourage you real quick to let you know that it doesn't matter what is going on. God has a way of escape for you. It doesn't matter what's going on. The Bible says in Corinthians that God always gives us a way of escape. So like we like to say here all the time, you are never stuck. Go ahead and repeat that. Go ahead and type it in the comment section. Say, you are not stuck. Say, I am not stuck. And because I'm not stuck, I can hear Holy Spirit, get the instruction for my life, and get into the position that he would have me to be in so that I can be in the best so that I can do the thing that he has called me to do, and so that I can live the life that he has called me to live, so that it can be an example to everybody that I come in contact with. Amen. And so that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be focused on. I am not stuck. I am not stuck because a lot of times we can get caught up, like I say, in the mundane rigmarole, day to day, you know, a life with God and a life with Holy Spirit is supposed to be an adventurous life. God has so many different things that he wants you to experience, and we're going to continue to harp on that until you see it on a day in, day out basis. Now, some of y'all may be saying, why do I need to experience this on a day in, day out basis? Because God wants you to experience his goodness on a daily basis. He wants you to experience him on a daily basis. That is why this ministry was designed and birthed, so that we can teach you how to walk in the power of God. You see it at the bottom, and experience the God kind of life daily, not just on a week-to-week basis, not just on a month-to-month basis, not just on a yearly basis, because a lot of things in the world are based on time frames. A lot of things in the world are based on time frames, and the only reason why we say daily is because a lot of times people think about things in the time frame of the world. They think about in bi-weekly pay periods. They think in weekly pay periods. They think in yearly annual raises. You know, they think month to month because that's how bills come in. A lot of people think about these things in these time frames. But when you begin to encounter God and when you begin to experience what God has for you, you will begin to realize that he wants me to experience his goodness on a day in, day out basis. And a lot of times on a moment to moment basis throughout the day. Y'all follow me? Even throughout the day, God wants you to experience and go to different levels in him. I've had times where God has given me revelation in the morning and it was much better by the evening. I've had times where God woke me up with such great news that it was even better in the evening. Listen, God wants you to experience his goodness in every area of your life. Amen. And y'all need to get that in your heart and in your mind that when you start feeling like you're stuck, or when you're feeling like you can't move, or if you're feeling like you're not experiencing everything God has for you, you need to take this confession to heart and say, man, I am not stuck. Why? Because God always makes a way of escape for me. Because God always makes a way of escape for me. And because of that truth, I'm going to walk in the path and the destiny and purpose that he's called me to walk in. Amen. Glory to God. So again, this is BJ Piggy Ministries, and this is a ministry teaching you to walk in the power of God and experience the God kind of life daily. That's what that power is for. It's to get you to experience the God kind of life. It's to get you that experience of not being stuck. It's to get you that experience of hearing the Holy Spirit and walking that thing out and breaking through whatever situation that needs to be broken through in your life. Amen. That is why this ministry is here, and that is why we teach and do the things that we do. Amen. So let's go through some announcements. I hope you guys were encouraged by that. I hope you guys were encouraged by that. And let's go take a look at a couple of things, because when we when we get into this word tonight, and when we start talking about what we want to talk about tonight, because, man, I'm telling you, it's going to be an absolute blessing. So that's why I want to go through these announcements real quick, and let's go ahead and get into the word. So if you haven't done it already, let's go ahead and tag a friend. Let's go ahead and like the broadcast. Let's go ahead and share the broadcast to whatever platforms you have the ability to share it to. And why are we asking you to do that? Because when you engage with the broadcast like this, when you invite somebody, when you share the word, when you get the word out, you do two things. You set your expectation to receive, and you do the Great Commission. You get the word to the people who need to hear the word, right? You're sharing what thus saith the Lord. And God says we are to go into all manners of the earth and do what? Preach the gospel. And what we're talking about tonight is specifically the gospel. We're specifically talking about Christ. We're not talking about anything that Christ is going to help us do or anything like that, which is still the gospel. But tonight we're talking about understanding the mysteries of Christ, right? So this is a message that we need to get all around and to as many people as possible, right? So that they can understand, because I'm telling y'all, in the midst of times like this, when we got so many different things pulling at our coattails, trying to pull on our understanding, trying to pull on our thinking, we need messages like this to center us as believers to know who Jesus is and who he was in our, who he was and who he is in our lives, so that we can have the truth of what's going on today. Amen. So again, if you haven't thought about somebody, I want you to take a couple of moments and think about somebody who you can share this with. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and tag them in the comment section so that they can join the conversation. Or you can just put it in your story or put it on your page. Either one would be beneficial. Either one would be beneficial. And so, or you can share it to whatever platform you would like to share it to. If you're on YouTube over there, go ahead and like the broadcast. Go ahead and comment over there. Go ahead and share this to any platform that you would desire to share it to. Because, you know, whatever platform you're looking at it on, we can still share that and get the word out. Amen. All right. Next thing, if you haven't followed us on all of our social media platforms, go ahead and do so. And if you have, invite a family member or a friend to join along with you, because a lot of times the best evangelism is one-on-one evangelism, because you're able to talk specifically to what you and your friend or your family member have in common and how it can benefit them. And so if this ministry has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm sure it'll be a blessing to them as well. So go ahead and think about them. Invite them to the page, invite them to the Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, or Twitter pages. If you've already joined, go ahead and ask them to join right along with you. The next thing we like to talk about is the podcast. We release the podcast every Monday at 6 a.m. You can download the new content every single Monday. And so if you would like to do that and become a part of the podcast family, where that specific vehicle, in addition to YouTube and Facebook, we're able to reach people all across the world. Man, it is such a blessing to know that you're reaching people all across the world. And not to say that, man, it is our goal to reach as many people as we can. But I think a lot of times, especially in church, I'm going to just say this real quick. A lot of times we highlight us going to Africa and other foreign countries and other third world countries and things of that nature for mission work and trying to get the gospel over there. And we should. But a lot of times, a lot of that mission work needs to be taken care of right in our own neighborhoods, right in our own communities. And so if we're so focused on the outside or going to other countries and we're not always focused on what needs to be taken care of here, then we've missed the whole point of that. Praise God we're going across the pond, but are we reaching people locally? Are we reaching people in our general vicinity? Because if we're not, what's the whole point of everything that we're doing? Because we can't go out if we're not taking care of of our own home, right? And so we got to look at both of those, amen? So again, if you want to join our podcast, go ahead and join our podcast. If you like getting podcasts, you can get that download every Monday at 6 a.m. And as you can see on the screen, we have several different ways that you can get the podcast. Listen, anywhere podcasts are released, you will find BJ Piggy Ministries. That's just how broad of that's just how far we spread this thing out. It doesn't matter where you get your podcast. I'm sure you can search BJ Piggy Ministries and you can definitely find us. And so if you would like to get those podcasts, go ahead and do that. Amen. Next thing, if you would like to get the daily encouragement emails, listen, The daily encouragement emails are sent every day, Monday through Friday. I don't know why I say every day. It's sent weekly. It's sent on a weekly basis for Monday through Friday. We don't send them out on Saturdays and Sundays, but you get them every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Why 8 o'clock in the morning? Because that's typically when people start their days and they need that encouragement to get them through the day or get them through whatever's getting ready to try to come against them that day, whatever the case may be. They may have had a bad morning. They open up right before they go to work and get the daily encouragement. Say, man, I can take on the day because I just got this word from God right here. And if you want to be a part of that email community, all you have to do is send us your email. That's all you got to do. We're not going to solicit anything from you. We're not going to do anything like that to you because that's not what this ministry is for. You're not going to sign up for emails and then you're going to be getting credit card offers. That's not what we do. You're not going to get, you're not going to sign up for the emails and all of a sudden you're going to start getting different advertisements to go over here and buy something. That's not what we do. We want to strictly be a blessing to you guys. And so because we want to be a blessing to you guys, we want to give that daily encouragement out in email format. And so if you would like to get those emails on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, please send us your email via emailing us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com, or you can direct message your email address on any one of our social media platforms and we will add you to that email list as soon as tonight, so that first thing in the morning, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, you will get the email and you will get the encouragement emails going forward. Starting tomorrow morning. Amen. So if that's you, go ahead and let us know. All right, y'all. Lastly, if you would like to become a virtual partner, what is a virtual partner? A virtual partner is somebody that says, I want to be a part of what you're doing. And I know we don't always disclose, we don't always share, we don't always discuss everything that this ministry does. But let me tell you, this ministry is constantly doing things for people. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we reach out to see if we can do anything for anybody, right? And so when we are able to meet the needs of people the way God has called us to meet the needs of people, and when he directly ask us to do this and he directly ask us to do that, you can be a part of that. And that's what being a virtual partner is. Our responsibility as a ministry is to do three things for you. Is to pray for you on a continual basis, which we do on a daily basis. Number two is to teach you what the word has to say, teach you what we believe God has given us so that you can be the best version that God has called you to be. And number three, to give you every available resource so that you can live that life that God has called you to be. Yes, you can get taught the word of God, but what are the intricate things that you need to do to make the change in the marketplace? What are the different things that you need to add to your repertoire so that you can go be the effective business owner that God has called you to be? Or what are the specific things in your character that you may need to adjust so that you can be the witness that God has called you to be? See, that's our responsibility as a ministry. That's our responsibility as a ministry. So we always commit to those three things. And if you desire to become a partner, we ask you to do the next following things. Number one, pray for the ministry, because if you're praying for the ministry, we're going to continue to do what God has called us to do, what God has commissioned us to do. Prayer is always first and foremost. Before you give any seed, before you do any work with the ministry, prayer is always first and foremost. Why? Because we want to make sure that you're positioning yourself to hear God to do what needs to be done in your life and in the ministry. Amen. So that's number one. Number two, prayerfully consider about sowing into the ministry. Prayerfully consider giving. And I've already stated, because of the faithful giving of this ministry, that people give to this ministry, we're able to do whatever God has called us to do when he calls us to do it, when he tells us to do it. That's the beautiful thing. When he tells us to do it, we have every available resource necessary to do what we need to do and what God has called us to do. There is no need that is coming to the ministry that God has told us to meet that we have not been able to meet. There is nothing that God has called us to do. We're podcasts, because all of this stuff costs money. And so because of this stuff that costs money, there has never been lack where this ministry has been concerned. And we praise God for that. And that is because of the faithful giving of the partners and friends of this ministry. So if that is you, that's the second thing that we ask for you to do. Number three, we ask you to prayerfully consider about how you can help the ministry, or if God has called you to assist the ministry in any way, we ask that you pray and ask God what you can do to assist the ministry, whether that's through flyers, media format. You know, if you think that the broadcast could be better, all these different things. Whatever you think we need to hold something in your area, do a ministry effort in your area, whatever that may be, if that's just giving to it or actually coming there, whatever the case may be, whatever you think God is calling or asked you to ask the ministry to do, we can partner together and do that, right? And so that's what we ask you to do as the number three thing. And lastly, number four, that we begin to say a lot more often, is just simply sharing the broadcast. If all God has called you to do is to share this ministry's teachings and share these live broadcasts and share all the different posts that we put up and all the different things like that, if that's all God has called you to do to help us spread the word, then we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts, because God can call you to do just that. Amen. And so if God has called you to do any one of those things, we commit to do our part. You commit to do your part. And that's why this partnership works. Amen. So also, if you have any prayer requests or if you have any testimonies about this ministry, we would love to hear about them. We would love to hear about those. And all you got to do to get those, prayer requests in is to send us an email, or you can direct message the ministry, however you want to do it. Or if you have a testimony, you can direct message the ministry, or you can just simply email us. Either way is fine with us. As long as you get it in, we appreciate it. We'll pray for you. We will align. We will pray in accordance to what the word has to say concerning that situation. And we will stand in agreement with you where the word of God is concerned. Amen. All right. Those are all of the announcements. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to get right into our teaching for tonight. Amen. We're going to get right into the teaching for tonight. And what I would like to do and what the Lord instructed me to do tonight is go back and clarify some things from last week. We're going to but first, before we get into the clarifying, what I would like to do first is I would like to read our base scripture for the subject that we're going to be in this series. And the subject matter is understanding the mysteries of Christ, understanding the mystery of Christ. And last week we began to dive into it in great detail on why the mystery of Christ is so important and how the scripture talks about how this particular mystery was concealed from the world until Jesus showed up on the scene. And so it's no longer a mystery, really. But a lot of people in today's time, they don't really know who Christ is or what Jesus Christ was all about. And because they don't know, or because they have known and turned to other things, they need to be refocused in on what he really did. And they need to focus on, or they need to be brought back to who he really is and what Christ really is, so that they can be walking in the truth and not a lie. Because there are so many different lies that are going throughout the earth right now. There are so many different things that people relate to Christ and God that are just not that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, you know, we talk about higher powers. And I'm going to repeat, because I said this last week, when people start talking about higher powers, and gods, they may not be talking about the God that you serve. They may not be talking about the one that came to die for your sins. They may be talking about a God, but it's going to be a small g God. And I want y'all to understand that when people start talking about God, they may not be talking about capital G God. They may be talking about little g God. And what do I mean by that? There are little gods in this earth. There are things that people have begun to idolize or effectively made gods in their lives. And what do I mean by that? People have made astrology their God. People have made soothsayers their God. The Bible calls them soothsayers or psychics. People have made psychics their God. People are always walking around trying to seek things that are not from the Holy One himself. Right. And so that is why we're talking about understanding the mystery of Christ, so that we can understand the truth, so that we can know the truth, and that truth set us free. So we won't be going after energies and spiritual occurrences that are not from God. Because how many of y'all know the devil is spiritual as well? Because that's the realm that he operates in. So if you're seeking after spiritual encounters, or if you're seeking after psychic encounters, or if you're seeking out different healers, shamans, all those kinds of things. That's how Pastor Sean used that, talked about shamans earlier. If we're seeking out all these different kinds of spiritual things, and they're not based on Christ and they're not based on the word, we're going to find ourselves lost and we're going to wonder why things are going on in our lives that shouldn't be going on. So that's why we're talking about the mystery of Christ. So what, like I said, so what we want to do right now is we want to get into the scriptures. We want to get into the scriptures and see what this is all about. So last week we began to dig into this scripture right here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. So let's go ahead and read it in the Passion Translation. We're going to read it and then we're going to talk about it. I can even celebrate. This is Paul talking. The sorrows I have experienced on your behalf. For as I join with you in your difficulties, it helps you to discover what lacks in your understanding of the sufferings of Jesus Christ experienced for his body, the church. So Jesus Christ experienced sufferings for his body, which is us, the church. Remember, we've talked about that before. This is the very reason I've been made a minister by the authority of God and a servant to his body. So that in his detailed plan, I would fully equip you with what? The word of God. And this scripture is where we're going to pretty much hang our hat on tonight because God wanted me to clarify some things that I said last week. But that's the this scripture is where we're going to hang our hat. But let's keep finishing the rest of it. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. But now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ. Also, it's not just Jesus that God wants us to understand. It's Jesus Christ that he wants us to understand. And last week, that's why we began to talk about this mystery, the mystery of Christ, so that we can understand what differentiates Jesus from all the rest of these so-called gods. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. The mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. And then it goes on to say, Christ is our message. Jesus Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of the truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through me to present revelation of being his perfect Jesus Christ. All right. So that's the basis. That's the base scripture for this whole series that we're doing, understanding the mystery of Christ. Because the Bible says, number one, that this mystery that we're talking about was concealed from the world from the beginning up until Jesus came on the scene. And then it goes on to say the very mystery of Christ is embedded. It's imparted. It's on the inside of us. And so when it started talking about the mystery of Christ is embedded on the inside of us, we begin to talk about a whole bunch of different things. A lot of times believers look on the outside for their solutions when they should be looking on the inside. Why? Because the anointing, when it is anointing, is on the inside. It's embedded on the inside of us. And so God has a way of churning things and getting things to us from the inside out. Because everything that we ever need in life is placed in Christ. Everything that we ever need for this life and in eternity is placed in Christ. And so last week we began to describe what Christ was. And Christ is not Jesus's last name. Christ is just an adjective for who Jesus is. It describes who Jesus is. And the definition of Christ is the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. And not just the anointed one, but the anointed one and his anointing or his power. That is what Christ means. And so when you begin to understand this mystery, the anointed one, or what God anointed Jesus to do or anointed Jesus with, and you will begin to understand that you have that very same anointing embedded on the inside of you, it will begin to change some things in your life. It will begin to cause you to look at things a whole lot differently, because not only is Jesus living on the inside of me, the very anointing that God placed on him is now placed upon me to do what men said could not be done. And so we're going to talk about that throughout this series, because we want to look at Christ's role, Jesus Christ's role in bringing this to pass. We want to look at the role of the believer. We want to look at the role of the church. But before we get into all of that, I want to go back to what I said last week. And what I said last week basically was this. because a lot of people get into the argument and a lot of people get into whether the Bible is real, whether we should reference the Bible, whether it's relative, whether it's important, whether we should use it, whether all of these different things. It's a whole lot of questions concerning the Bible, and people use the different things that they find in translations in the Bible to bring about things to say that there are errors in the Bible and we should discredit that whole thing. Now, last week I mentioned that there are errors or there are misinterpretations or there actually, I said it, but I want to make sure I clarify it today, because I don't want anybody leaving here stating that BJ said that the Bible is in error or that the Bible is wrong or that we shouldn't be following the Bible or that we shouldn't or that it's not God's word. Right. And so I want to make sure I'm clear tonight on that. And I'm going to show you some scriptures to prove out my point. But I may have said something that may have caused some people to misunderstand last week. But I just want to make sure that I clarify this, because God laid this on me strong to talk about. So I want to make sure I'm clear about it. The word of God is not wrong. Amen, somebody. The word of God is not wrong. The Bible in its original text, when it was written, Holy Spirit inspired and God breathed, came from the Father. Now, the problem came in over time when people began to translate these things through the King James Version and all these different other versions that we have now. We have umpteen versions of the Bible. But initially, I mean, not that many years ago, most people used the King James Version of the Bible. And then, like maybe 10 years ago, it began to morph in all these different translations, which was good, because a lot of people began to realize that in the Bible that we held dear, which we should, had some things that were translated improperly and translated incorrectly. And so I'm going to show you that tonight. I mentioned it last week, but again, I just want to make myself clear tonight. I want to make myself clear because I don't want anybody to say that there are errors in what God has said or what God is saying, because this is the thing. If God is powerful enough to speak through people clearly to give them a word, he is powerful enough to have somebody scribe what he wants to put down in the book and have us read it so that we can understand it and have a guideline for our life. And a lot of times people get lost in that. If God can, because people will say, well, I need to follow Holy Spirit. I don't need to pay attention to that Bible over there. God's going to speak to me. Well, if God can speak to you, then he can have somebody write that down. There is no difference. You're telling me that God is powerful enough to speak through a flawed human being or speak to a flawed human being what thus said the Lord, but he's not able to write it down and make it clear for us to understand? Come on now. Y'all need to understand the God we're dealing with. Y'all need to understand the God that we're talking about. God is not powerless. He is powerful. And when he writes something or when he scribes something, he's not making it an error. Just like when he gives you a word concerning your life, he's not going to give you an error concerning that word. Are you listening to me? Are you paying close attention to me? Because a lot of times, like I said, people will take things and they'll run with them. People will take things and they'll run with them. And because they go and run with them, they get confused. They get a wrong interpretation. And we as preachers have done it in the past. We won't study the scripture wholeheartedly sometimes. And we would take one little bit of scripture and run with it out of context and create a whole mess that didn't need to be created. That's why I'm real keen on teaching. That's why I'm real keen on not getting super excited all the time when I teach, even though there are some times when you study the word and you preach the word, you get excited. Nothing wrong with that. But that's why I make it a point to make sure I try my best to be clear in what I'm saying so that there's no misunderstanding going on. And because I'm going to be held accountable for what I'm teaching you and what I'm talking to you about, right? And so if I'm not clear, I need to do everything within my power and Holy Spirit helping me to make sure that we're clear concerning this thing. And I want to repeat again, if God is strong enough and powerful enough to speak to somebody who is flawed and give somebody else a word through that vessel, he is just as powerful to use that, to use another flawed individual to write the word down so that we can understand it. Now, again, there's no error in the word of God, but there may be error in translation where the word of God is concerned. There's a difference. Because again, a lot of people like to take the Bible and say, well, if there's something that was translated incorrectly, then we need to just toss the whole thing away. No, that's not what we need to do. We need to get proper understanding and get God's heart on the thing so that we can have the full understanding of what we need. Are you listening to what I'm saying tonight? So, just like God can give you a rhema word, he can write down the Logos word. And so why is this important? Let's go and look at this. Let's go and look at this, y'all. Let's go look at the scripture. Y'all know which scripture I'm going to go to. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to look at it in the Amplified version of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is what it says. It says, every scripture is God-breathed. Now, what scripture are we referring to? We were referring to the original text. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction. Look at what the word is for. Profitable for instruction, for reproof, correction, or conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. In what? Holy living. This is what righteousness is. Holy living. In conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. Every scripture is God-breathed or given by his inspiration and profitable for what? Instruction. So the word of God is going to instruct you for reproof. The word is going to reprove you, is going to convict you of sin or show you where you're wrong. It's for correction of error. So when people get to talking about this error, this and this error, that in the Bible, you can use this scripture to say the Bible is going to show you where that's an error, and discipline in obedience. So the word wants to have you disciplined in obedience. And the word is also for training in righteousness and holy living. It's in training us to be more like him in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. That's what the word is for. That's what the scripture is for. Now, if you look at this scripture, this is what I want to talk to you about. The scripture, if you look at that last part, and this is the thing that really, I think, really gets people. And this is why I think people want to go off and not use the Bible or not use the word of God or even use God's instruction for that matter when he speaks to them, because they don't want to be held accountable. Because the latter part of that scripture talks about you conforming to his will, not us conforming. Not him conforming to what we want to do. And that's where I think the difference begins to make the huge divide. That's where I think it begins to make a huge distinction, because a lot of times what happens is when people get introduced to stuff, they get introduced to sage, they get introduced to psychics, they get introduced to all these different kinds of things. And they try to make that conform to what God has said rather than you and what you're being introduced to, holding that up to the light of what the word has to say about it. Are you listening to me? That's a huge difference, because people just like to go and accept whatever is rather than having the checks and balances of the word and Holy Spirit so that they can be told, no, they can't. They shouldn't be doing that. And so I want you to hold this true to your heart tonight. The word of God is for you to conform to it, not it conform to you. And so the reason why we're going this direction again is because Paul said, in understanding the mystery of Christ, he knew what he was called to do, and he was called to give us and fully equip us with the word of God. Paul knew what his responsibility was. His responsibility was to equip you with the word, not what his opinion was, not what his thought process was, but what the word had to say concerning the situation. See, I don't ever want to give anybody my own personal opinion. Now, this is what I'm going to throw this in here, because a lot of times when people preach, a lot of times when people teach, it is taught and preached through the lens of that individual's experiences and that individual's understanding and interpretation. But this is the beautiful thing about Holy Spirit. If I give you something that doesn't connect with what Holy Spirit is telling you, you can go ahead and toss that to the side. If God is telling you to toss away the entire Bible, and if God is telling you to toss this thing away, then I want you to follow what God is saying. And it would also line up with what he said in his word, because the word and the spirit are the checks and balances for one another. How do I know they're the checks and balances for one another? We need to understand that we can't just have the word because we'll be legalistic, and we can't just have spirit because we will be spiritually no good. We need to have the, they need to all come together in fulfillment, just like what Jesus came to do. Because the Bible says it like this: Jesus didn't come to get rid of the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to bring the two together. So, and Jesus often taught this, and I said this last week, Moses, when Jesus was talking to people about divorce, and people were saying, man, in the law, Moses said, I'm going to give you a letter of divorcement if somebody goes into adultery or somebody cheats or whatever. Moses gave you a letter of divorcement. And Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, he gave you that letter of divorcement. Not just because somebody cheated, you should divorce them. The question is your heart about the matter? What's your heart about the matter? Are you listening to the spirit concerning that? Because people can make mistakes, but God can turn that thing all around. But if you're just sticking with the letter of the law, you're just going to go and want to stone somebody. And I gave that example also last week when the law stated that when somebody was caught in the act of adultery or sinning or prostituting, the law said that they were to stone them. They brought that same woman to Jesus. They pulled her out of the very act of fooling around, messing around with somebody. They pulled her out of the bed, brought her to Jesus, and they said, Master, the law says that we should stone her. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, he started doodling in the ground, and Jesus says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. So basically, what was Jesus doing? He was trying to bring the law and the spirit together so that you can understand that freedom can come from somebody if you just follow what Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Because even though the law says this, I'm going to bring this thing together and decide whether or not we should do that in this moment. And in this moment, you need to look at yourself. You're trying to judge this individual, and you're doing the very same thing to her, because he told them, he without sin cast the first stone, and everybody had to drop their rocks because they were in the sin. And so God had, and so Jesus went on to say, well, where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Nobody else is here. Why? Because they're the only one that could have convicted you today was me, because I'm the only one that's been perfect. And neither do I condemn you, neither do I convict you. Go and sin no more. And that's the other thing that people just truly let go of. When Jesus said, go and sin no more, he equipped her with everything she needed to do to not do what she was caught in the act of doing. So we need to get this whole thing about the spirit and the letter coming together so that we can get the whole picture. And we're going to see that here in just a little bit. We're going to see that here in just a little bit, but let's get back to 2 Timothy 3:16. The original scriptures were God breathed, because we're going to see why this comes into play when it comes to understanding the mystery of Christ here in a little bit. It can be used for instruction. It can be used for correction of error. It can be used for discipline and teaching of holy living. The scripture is used to have us conform to God's will, not him conform to our will. Last week, we talked about how the Bible was used to enslave people. It was not used in its correct intent, and that was not God's heart. Many people may not know this, but us being black people, we were enslaved, and people thought that enslaved us. They used the word of God to do that. Not see, it's one of those things where when the word was given, and people use all of these different instances to discredit what the Bible was intended to do. People can take whatever and twist that thing around. The enemy can take the Bible and twist it all around. How do I know the enemy can take the Bible and twist it all around? Because he came to Jesus with a scripture, and Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. He came to him after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and he tried to use a scripture concerning the angels coming to protect Jesus. And Jesus says, you need to get on from out of here with that. No man can live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He came to him. Jesus basically combated him with the word that he thought that he was bringing to him. And so what I want y'all to understand is, just because somebody misuses the scripture, just because somebody came along and told you prosperity is the will of God and jacked you for all of your money, does not mean that prosperity is not the will of God. Because we've seen through the body of Christ, we've seen through the years that there have been preachers, and there's still people preaching today that all they do is preach for monetary gain. They preach for monetary gain. And because of that, people look at those individuals and they take the prosperity word that God has given to discredit that because somebody else is misusing it. So just because somebody misused the scripture doesn't mean that that's what the intent of that scripture was for. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Are you listening to me? Because I really want y'all to get what I'm talking about tonight. I really want y'all to get what I'm talking about tonight because this is going to be vital to understanding the mystery of Christ. It's going to be vital to doing it. Are you okay? And so again, if studied out in its entirety, if you took one scripture and thought that you were supposed to enslave people, and that's what people did. But if you studied out the Bible in its entirety, people would have seen the truth instead of pulling it out of context. And even today, when people look at the scripture, people do that a lot of times. They read one scripture, but they don't read before or after to get context of what's going on. So therefore, they're just preaching something that they may have heard before, or they preach something to get across an opinion or a thought that they have. We have to become students of the word so that we can fully understand what the word is telling us. People do the same thing today. People use it for selfish gain and try to manipulate the hearts of the people. But that does not mean that the word should be discredited. That does not mean that this is not God's will for your life. That does not mean that God doesn't want you to experience this in your life. Just because somebody did it wrong doesn't mean that the word is wrong. Are y'all listening to me? So again, I want to be clear when I'm talking about. Let's go ahead and get to this part too, because I want to show y'all these scriptures so that we can begin to break down. Y'all got this so far? If y'all got what I've said so far, say amen. Because I don't want to move on if I haven't made myself clear where that's concerned. All scripture is inspired. All scripture is God breathed. All words of God are God breathed. All words are God breathed. Whether they're rhema or logos. Rhema being the spoken word and logos being the written. All are inspired. But the very same people that get a word from him can also twist and manipulate that word. But this is why one of the most important things you have to understand concerning being a believer, you have to have some character and integrity about yourself. You can't just have selfish motives. You can't just be one of those individuals that be like, you know what? If I get everybody hyped up, I know they're going to empty out their pockets. I was getting ready to say, who thinks like that? But I know preachers that do think that way. They figure, you know what, I need to get paid tonight. Let me go ahead and hype up the crowd. Let me get everybody caught up in emotionalism and tell them that God is going to do X, Y, and Z for them if they give this and they give that. And then they find themselves benefiting from the downfall of somebody else because you never gave them what God told you to give them. You manipulated it for selfish gain. Just like the slave masters did. They manipulated the scriptures for selfish gain. And because of that, God is still correcting some things where that's concerned. Because they did that, God is still correcting some things where that's concerned, because people will use whatever they want to get whatever they want. And that is not what the scripture was used for. But again, just because they misused it, don't mean that God didn't inspire it and God didn't give it. Amen, somebody. Okay, so let me show y'all this scripture so that y'all can understand what I meant last week when I said that there were some errors in translation. Let me make sure I'm clear about that. Errors in translation of what the original text said in the scripture. And I mentioned last week that it was in Psalms 82, but it wasn't in Psalms 82. That was something else that went along with this. But this scripture is going to prove my point out in its entirety. So let's go look at this so y'all can understand what I mean and why I said that there are some translation errors. And again, we're going to go look at the King James Version of the Bible, because most churches have always used the King James Version of the Bible. They've mostly used the King James Version of the Bible. So let me show y'all this. In Psalms chapter 8. Verse number 4 and 5, Psalms chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. This is what it says. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." All right, y'all see that? Psalms 8, 4 through 5 in the King James Version. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Now, if you look at the King James Version of the Bible, and that's all you ever read, and if you never did any study, you never looked at it in the Strong's Concordance, if you never did any cross-referencing, anything like that, you would take that scripture and you would say, you know what? When God made man, because the scripture started off by talking about what is man that thou art mindful of him? They were looking around at God's creation and they began to ask questions. Man, there is this man that you created. Why are you so mindful? Why are you so considerate? Why are you always taking care of this man? They asked this question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why are you always concerned about this man and the son of man that thou visitest him? You care about man so much that you crown them with glory and honor. You care about man so much that you're mindful of them and that you go and visit them. What is it about this man? And then it goes on to say, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. So why are you mindful of him? And has crowned him with glory and honor." Now, if you would just look at that scripture, you would think that we were made lower than the angels. If you read that scripture verbatim, you would sit there and say, "We were made a little lower than angels," which means that if you look at a ranking order, you will see God, angels, and then man. Just talking, right? You will see that order. If they were made lower than angels, and a lot of people would take that to heart and they'll be like, "Well, you know what? That makes sense. That makes sense." Why? Because angels are heavenly beings. They're in the spirit realm. They're called by God. They got this mighty power. They show up to Mary and they give words and things like that. I can understand why angels would be higher than man. I can understand that because they're spiritual beings. They hang around God all the time, right? They from heaven. They in the spirit realm. They know what's going on. So I can understand why angels are a little bit higher than man, because man was made lower than angels. You can get all of these different thoughts. You can get all of these different things just based on this scripture, right? Out of the King James, right? You can, because I've had those same thoughts before until I was taught and I went to study for myself to find out something totally different. Now, let me show y'all what I mean. Let's look at this version in the Passion Translation. We're going to look at, you can look at it in several different versions. Y'all can go check it out for yourself. But let's look at this same scripture in the Passion Translation. Let's see what it says. All right. It says, "Why would you bother with puny mortal men or care about human beings?" They're asking the same kind of question. Why would you bother with a puny mortal man or care about human beings? "Yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim." That is where I'm talking about. "And crowned with glory and magnificence." Let's read this scripture again, because you don't see angels nowhere in here. "Why would you bother with puny mortal man or care about human beings? Why would you do such?" But then it goes on and they answer their own question. "Yet what honor you have given to men." That's why you care about them, because you've given them honor. "And you created them only a little lower than Elohim," or yourself, "and crowned them with glory and magnificence." Some of y'all may be asking this question: what is Elohim? That was the original word in the original text. So some of y'all may be asking, well, let me answer with Elohim first, and then let's talk about why somebody may have put angels there, because I don't know. But Elohim is the Hebrew word for God the Creator. What? The original word in the Greek was God the Creator. So in this translation of the Bible, it was put correctly, the term Elohim. But in the King James Version, the term that was used was angels. Now, why was that? I have no earthly idea, besides to say that it was translated from the original text through a flawed man. But again, I say, if you study the whole scripture out, you will see several other places in scripture that would confirm or back up the Passion Translation of what that says. Let me give you a couple to give you some to start your thinking process. In the very beginning, when God made man, he made man in his likeness. He didn't make the angels in his likeness. He made man in his likeness. So that's another thing that you can look at and cross-reference with this scripture here in Psalms and say, man was made a little lower than God because man was made in his likeness. Angels were not. So why would angels usurp the likeness of God? They can't and they won't because we were made a little lower than Elohim. Ah, BJ, give me another example. All right, you want another one? The Bible says that the angels were sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. If you want scripture references for these, I can give them to you. Just ask me after we open with it, and I'll give them to you. I don't have the scriptures to show on the screen right now, but I can give them to you, sure enough, because I done studied it out. The Bible says that the angels were sent to minister or serve the heirs of salvation. Now, question, who was supposed to be getting saved? Who was supposed to be getting an inheritance of salvation? Sure wasn't the angels, because the angels didn't need salvation. Man needed salvation. So if I'm going to serve, then that means that I'm going to have to submit myself to that individual or made a little lower under that individual. So if angels have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, which is man, that now also corrects that order. So instead of the order being God, angels, man, according to the King James, the correct order is God, man, angels. Now, a lot of people, that begins to start running some things in people's brains, and they start tripping like, man. So you mean to tell me that God made me in his likeness? You've heard that before, sure. So you mean to tell me that angels are a little lower than me? So what does that make me? Again, this is why this ministry was given. We've said it before, but we may need to go back and teach on it again. Understanding your identity, how God made you. God made you like him. So the things you should be doing is like him. Disregard the flesh that you in. Because that is why Jesus, well, I say disregard it, but pay attention. A lot of people look at it like this. Man, how can I be better than the angels? Because a matter of fact, the scripture also says we were made better than the angels. I can give you that scripture too. We were made better than the angels. That just came to me. God brought that back to my remembrance. We were made better than the angels. And a lot of people may be looking, man, how can me in this flesh be better than a spirit man that can seemingly do supernatural things? I want you to think about that question for just a second, because I know a lot of people have that question. A lot of people look at themselves and be like, man, how can me, being in the flesh, being my flawed self, in this flesh, in this earth where there's chaos and craziness all the way around, how can I be made better than the angels when they walk around doing supernatural spiritual stuff? This is the reason and henceforth the mystery of Christ. Because he came forth, wrapped himself up in flesh to show you what you should have been doing from the very beginning. Jesus came to be our example to show us what we can do in the bodies that God put us in. This is why when we look at Jesus and we look at the Christ, we have to begin to understand the mystery of Christ and what Jesus was anointed to do. And because Jesus was anointed to do these things, and that same anointing has been placed on you, you can go do those very same things in the flesh. Because I know a lot of y'all wouldn't ever say that the angels were better than Jesus because Jesus walked around and did supernatural things. I know none of y'all would ever say that. If you're a believer in Christ, or if you're a believer, or if you've been in church for any amount of time or have some understanding, none of y'all will ever say that the angels were better than Christ. And the And since you won't ever say that, there's a reason why you won't ever say that. But the problem is you won't ever put yourself in proper position. That's why you get all confused, because you find yourself succumbed to all of the worldly things that are going on. You find yourself succumbed to being stuck. You find yourself succumbing to everything that the world has to offer, not understanding that you're backed by heaven, that you're an ambassador of heaven, and that you should be operating a totally different way. That's why you need to understand the mystery of Christ, so that you can start doing the things that you're doing and come up to the level that God wants you to come up to. But then again, I'm trying to clarify. I'm trying not to preach, because that's something that'll preach right there. I'm trying to help you understand why the word of God is so important. I'm trying to help you understand why the word of God is so important, and why Paul brought this so that we cannot ever disregard the word in any capacity. And so, again, I said that to say, when I'm talking about an error, I'm talking about flawed men making an error in translation. And you just saw it clearly here from the King James Version of the Bible to the Passion Translation of the Bible. Go look at it in the Amplified. Go look at it in the Good News Translation. Go look at it in the Message Translation. Go look at it in the New Living Translation. Go look at it in the NIV Version. Go look at it in all these different versions. But the original text, where God made man, or it says that God made man a little lower than something, that word was Elohim. It wasn't angel, because angel is not Elohim. Translated from Hebrew, angel is not Elohim. Elohim is God, the creator. So again, I say, my point is this. There could sometimes be an error in translation, but again, just because somebody misused it or translated it wrong does not mean that the word is wrong. Y'all still with me? Are y'all still with me? Are y'all still with me here? I hope y'all are. I hope y'all still with me. And I'm not trying to take it too fast, but I'm just trying to show you something. Just trying to show you something. So again, the translation needs to be paid attention to. The translation needs to be paid attention to. And so we need to also remember that there could be some other areas. And I believe there are some other areas. I just can't really think of them right now where this translation was made. But again, that doesn't discredit the word of God. So this is another reason why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us, his preachers, his teachers, his gifts in the body, so that the people can understand properly. This is why Holy Spirit needs to reveal his word to us. And we need to have teachers, and we need to have people that will listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can understand his word properly. So we can understand properly, because the Bible says, and all you're getting, get an understanding. But how are you going to get an understanding? And when you got people steady talking about you nothing because you made a little lower than angels. People have said, I've heard people say that. Man, don't ever think that you can come up there with Jesus. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. He created me like that. So I need to change. I need to conform to that, not conform to your opinion. All right, BJ, get off that. So again, not that the word of God is in error, but someone may have translated incorrectly, causing misunderstanding due to being flawed as a part of mankind. So again, I tell you, just like God can speak through flesh and give rhema and a word to follow, he can do the same thing written down for us to follow. I can't say that enough, because again, a lot of people have begun to discredit the scriptures because they want to go follow some spirituality. And so if God can speak to an individual who is flawed and give them an instruction to follow, he can do the exact same thing written down, written or spoken. He can do them both. Why? Because all scripture written down is God-breathed and inspired. All right? He can do both, because if he can't do both, we need to question what kind of God we're serving, right? We need to question that, and we should never question that when it comes to God. God is all powerful. God is absolutely all powerful. So, again, why is this important? Why is this all important? Let's go ahead and wrap this up for tonight. Why is this important? It's important because the Spirit and the Word of God should go together. It's important because the Spirit and the Word of God should go together. Let's look at that scripture that I mentioned last week, but I want to show you this in the Passion Translation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6 in the Passion Translation. It says, "He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on the entirely new covenant." Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. Now, I want y'all to notice this here. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. What new covenant is he talking about? He's talking about the new covenant that Jesus came and gave us. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law. It's not founded on the letter of the law. It's based on the new covenant that Jesus gave us, but through the power of the Spirit that Jesus gave us. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. So 2 Corinthians 3 and 6 in the Passion Translation, that's what it says. So again, the letter without the Spirit will cause or kill, will kill or cause destruction. The letter without the Spirit will kill or cause destruction. Why did Paul need to tell the church at Corinthians? Why did he need to tell the Corinthian church that the letter of the law will kill? Because people needed to be introduced to not just the law, because they had that already. But the letter of the law will kill. That's why we don't adhere solely to the letter of the law. We allow Holy Spirit to write that law on our hearts. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit was given to write that law on the tablets of our hearts. Not that there's not a law, but if you just study or if you just go by the letter of the law, you will find yourself killing because you're not going with the Spirit also. The Spirit without the Word will cause confusion. And the letter of the law will cause destruction and will kill. They must work together. So I gave you that scripture to point out the fact that if you just go by the letter of the law, it will kill or it will cause destruction. But on the flip side of that, if you just go by the power of the Spirit, and if you go by emotionalism, and if you don't see, that's why you find different things going on and things are just weird, because people don't have balance. And that's one of the things that the Lord commissioned me a long time ago to teach on and be about, is balance. I'm not opposed to people laying hands. I'm not opposed to you shouting. I'm not opposed to doing any of that stuff, having a good time in church, us dancing till we all sweated up out of all our clothes. I'm not opposed to any of that. But what I am opposed to is foolery going on in the church. When people just get to acting crazy and they don't have no balance and saying that it's Holy Spirit. The Word of God ain't told you to... And I can only use this as an example because I saw it on TikTok the other day. And I ain't going to say the pastor's name, but whatever, the pastor goes to lay hands on somebody. He grabs her on the side and he's praying for her, you know, like we would do to lay hands on somebody. And she's crying. I mean, she's been over crying. And so by the time he's holding her and he goes, and he's still holding on to her, and he sits down, and basically her hand is on his lap, and he starts shaking, and I'm like, dude, what is going on here? He's shaking, and that's looking like a totally different situation. That's not looking like you laying hands on somebody trying to help them get delivered by obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's looking like you just being emotional at the time and doing something and getting caught up, and it's looking like something totally different than what the Holy Spirit desired to do. And that's what I'm opposed. That's what I'm opposed to. I'm opposed to people just doing things because that's what they feel like they need to do. What does the Word have to say about what you're doing? And a lot of times people can't hear God because they get so caught up that they just want to do what they want to do. So you want to be spiritual, but you're so far gone, you can't even listen to the Spirit to recognize that you're doing something foolish. That is why you need the word and you need people to pay attention to what you're doing. And if that individual, somebody needed to have told him afterwards, man, that did not look right. You needed to go and apologize or make some correction where that was concerned. Because if you meant to do that, you need not ever do that again. But if you didn't mean to do that, which that could be a possibility, you still need to go apologize to that person because you didn't mean to do that. But the word will keep you grounded like that. Having people around you will keep you grounded like that. After you calm down and stop being emotional, you can hear Holy Spirit and you can watch that on video and be like, man, that shouldn't have went down like that. Maybe I need to not ever do that again. But a lot of times people get caught up into that kind of foolery and can't nobody tell them nothing. And they end up doing it again and looking crazier and crazier, wondering why the Spirit not moving and people not getting delivered, because you're not willing to humble yourself and line yourself up with what God would have you to do. And you just want to go and be what Paul talked about. You have zeal, but you have no knowledge. You know, you're so gung-ho to do things for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says you can have zeal, but you need to have it with knowledge. You need to have it with understanding. They need to go together. And that's what that is. That zeal is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do some stuff. But the knowledge comes from the word so that you can put the two together so that they can be in proper balance. Are y'all listening to me out there? Are you listening to me out there? Because you can find anybody to lay hands, but are they going to come at you? Because this is what people need to understand. Is it the word that heals, or is it you laying hands? Is it the Spirit that heals, or is it you praying in tongues? What is actually doing the work? What is the actual power? The power is the word and the instruction that God gave you. God told you to go lay hands. It's not you, the individual, laying the hands. It's because God told you to do that and God was able to flow through you to get the job done. I can say a lot more about that, but man, listen, the letter of the law will kill, but the Spirit gives life. They must go in conjunction with one another. They must go in conjunction with one another. That's why it's a checks and balance. You can't be all the way over here spiritual and you can't be all the way over here legalistic. You got to have balance. Now, we're going to go to this last scripture and then we're going to be done for tonight. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, because this is why this is important. This is why we've been talking about all of this all night. This is why we've been talking about this concerning Christ. In the beginning, before all time, was the word, Christ. Oh, so Christ, the mystery of Christ, has everything to do with the word, because it was in the beginning before all time. Yeah, it was. This is the Amplified version, by the way. This is the Amplified Classic version, by the way. In the beginning, before all time, was the word, Christ. And the word was with God, Christ. And the word was God, or Christ was God himself. So are you listening to this? In the beginning was the word, Christ, because the Bible just defined the word being Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. This is what separates Jesus from everybody that ever walked the earth, because Jesus was the anointed one and his anointing. That is why he was able to say, I'm the truth and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am these things. Why? Because Jesus was the anointed one with the anointed. He was Christ. He was with God in the beginning, and the word was God. Christ was God. Christ was God, is God, because he was Christ. He was God wrapped in flesh. And the word was God himself. He was present originally with God. So why am I trying to tie all of this up and bring all of this back around here to understanding the mystery of Christ? Because when you disregard the word of God, you're disregarding Christ. And you can't do that. You can't do it. You just can't. And again, I say, that's spoken and that's written. And I hope I said enough tonight to basically clear the air and bring those two together so that you can understand, man, you need both of them. You need both of them. Because if you have one, if you lean to one side, you're not going to have balance. If you lean to the other side, you're not going to have balance. You only have balance when you stand up straight. That's why you don't walk leaning like this. That's why you don't walk like this. Because if you do, you're going to fall over. You're going to find yourself crazy looking. You got to have balance. I just got a visual of that. People walking on the side about to fall over, thinking that that's the way they got to walk. Man, stand up straight, get some balance, so that you can get some, some rightness about your life, man. Straighten up, get some balance. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was the living embodiment of the Word. I'm gonna say that for everybody in the back. He was the living embodiment of the Word. He was the living embodiment of the Word. He was the living embodiment of the Word. And the Bible says it like this: you should also be a living epistle or a living letter. You should be a living example of what the Word says. That is why it is on us to make sure that we walk out what the Word says, what God tells us to do. Because when people see us, they're going to see God. They're going to see Christ. They're going to see the Word. And if we're not walking and doing the things that we need to do, we won't be the examples that we need to be. We won't need to be the examples when people show up in front of us. Again, the two can't be separated. You can't separate Jesus from Christ, and you can't separate Jesus from the Word, because he was the living embodiment of that. Jesus was the Word wrapped in flesh. Jesus was the Word wrapped in flesh. Now, catch this. I want y'all to catch this before y'all leave tonight. Jesus came to be the example for you. He lowered his divinity to come down to our humanity to show us how we should have been living, right? So if he was the Word wrapped in flesh and Christ is embedded on the inside of us, that same example should be flowing through our lives. You need to conform to that and not try to have that conform to your opinions. You need to come up hither. You need to come up where he is, and you don't need to try to bring him down to where you are. Our goal in life should always be trying to come up here. Our goal in life should always be trying to come up to where he is, not trying to bring him down to where we are. Will he come down to meet us where we are? Yes, Jesus will meet you where you are. That's why the Bible says, come as you are. He will meet you where you are. But the goal is not to stay where you are. The goal is to come up hither. He didn't come down to earth to stay in earth. He came down to be an example for us so we can go back to heaven. He didn't want you to stay where you were. That is why he was the living embodiment of the Word. And you should also be the living embodiment of the Word that he gave you. You should be the living embodiment of the scriptures that he's given us to follow and study and live out. You should be the living embodiment of the rhema word that he speaks to you specifically concerning your life. You should be the living embodiment of that. Man, I hope y'all understanding where I'm coming from, man. So, because as we continue to unfold all these different things in this series, I want y'all to come along with us for the journey. I want y'all to come along with us for this lovely ride that we're going to go on. Because by the end of this, I pray that you be convinced about who's the truth, the way, and the life. I want y'all to be convinced on who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the anointed one, and his anointing. Did y'all get anything out of that tonight? Amen, amen, amen. I think I'm done for tonight, y'all. Amen, amen, amen. Did y'all get anything out of that? If you did, give God some hearts. Give God some likes. Get ready to share this with somebody, because I believe people are going to be blessed by this message. I believe people are going to get understanding of this message. They're going to get understanding, and their lives are going to radically change because they're going to be understanding what Christ is, who Christ is. They won't just be saying it because they think it's Jesus' last name. They will begin to understand, man, Jesus was the anointed one. And Paul is teaching us here that that anointing is embedded on the inside of me, so I can be like Christ. That's what being a Christian means. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what they're supposed to mean. man, I have been really lagging in my understanding. I should be doing a whole lot more. I should be doing a whole lot better. Why? Because Christ is in me. Glory to the Father. Hallelujah. It's time to give, y'all. Let me get y'all up out of here. It's time to give. If you want to give, you can give via Cash App. You can give via Cash App, $BJPinkyMinistries. If you give via Cash App, make sure you put your email address in the for section so that we can send you an email to let you know that we received your gift of love. You can also give via Tithely. You can also give via Text to Give. You can also give via Givelify. Now, here's a QR code that you can scan, and it'll take you right to BJ Pinkey Ministries to give a donation of whatever God tells you to give. I love technology. Look at that. Just go ahead and scan that QR code, and it'll take you, bam. Anywhere you see that logo, that red logo right there, BJ Pinkey Ministries, feel free to give because that's our ministry logo. So the QR code for Givelify is right before you. And the next one, the QR code for Tithely is right there. So if you want to give through Givelify or if you want to give through Tithely, now these two systems allow you to give with a credit card, debit card, ACH transaction, your bank account, however you want to do it. It's up to you. But all I want you to do is just obey God. That's all we want you to do. And I'm going to say this, and I may, you know, eventually when we get to our finance series, y'all may completely run away because, you know, I just want to tell y'all, God wants us to increase. God wants you to have more than enough. God has increase on his mind for you. And just like I told y'all earlier, just because people have misused the scripture to try to get money out of people in the past does not mean God does not want you to give. That does not mean that God does not want you to tithe. That does not mean that God doesn't want you to hear his voice and obey him where your finances are concerned. Because God has set up a system of seed time and harvest. He set up a system of sowing and reaping. He set up a system of tithing. He set up all these different giving avenues, giving to the poor, giving alms, all of these different things. He set up all these different avenues for you to give, but you got to obey it. And so just because somebody came along and they took your money and they used it for their own selfish gain does not mean God didn't give you a system to participate in. Because this system for you to participate in is to increase you financially. A lot of people don't like that, but that's right. And some of y'all may be saying, well, BJ, do I got to give to your ministry? Yeah, if God tell you to. But if God tell you not to, then don't. But I'm telling you this, God's going to tell you to give somewhere. He's going to tell you to give somewhere. So you need to be giving. Whether it's to this ministry or to another ministry. Again, I don't care if you give to another ministry. God takes care of this ministry. If God tells you to give, that's up to you. That's between you and God. That's between you and him. And because it's up to you and him, I ain't got to worry about trying to manipulate you out of no money. Because it's between you and him, I ain't ever got to come out and be like, I need you to give $5,000 today. No. God says, he going to take care of this ministry. God says, I want you to do this, but you quickly obey him. Because when you quickly obey him, when you obey God, that sets up future provision. It's not because you gave to this ministry or you gave to T.D. Jakes or you gave to Creflo Dollar or you gave to Joel Osteen. Just because you gave to them different people don't necessarily mean your seed going to return. Did God tell you to give to them? Okay, then your seed gonna return. But if he did not, and he said, give to BJ Pinkey Ministries, that's where your return is going to be. It's going to be in obedience to what he told you to do. Again, you are in this world, but not of this world. You are not subject to this world. You are subject to heaven's economy. You are subject to heaven's economy, not this world's economy. This world's economy is going to go to hell in a handbasket. This world's economy is going to go. It's going to take you all over the place. That's why you need to be listening to God on where he tells you to go, what he tells you to do with your money, where he tells you to go apply for jobs. You need to be listening for all of that because this world going to toss you around and not give a care about you. Where is God telling you to go? Where is God telling you to sow? And where is God telling you to invest? And that obedience will determine your provision. Amen. All right, y'all. I just want y'all to obey God. I pray you obey God. Do what God tells you to do, because when you do it, God will definitely take care of you. I love y'all, man. I hope, I pray Y'all think about somebody who y'all can share this message with. Come back next week for another beneficial word from God so that we can all grow and understand the mystery of Christ. I love y'all. See y'all next week. Peace.
If you would like to connect with our ministry, please email us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com or follow us at bjpiggyministries on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or YouTube. This podcast is made possible by the support of friends and partners like you. If you'd like to show your financial support, you may do so via Cash App, Tithely.com, or Givelify.com by searching for BJ Piggy Ministries. Thank you.
I tread on serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in authority that